Beautiful heaven must be. What a day that will be when we get to be there. Amen. I don't know what you had to pay Brother Scott, but you overpaid him on that one, so I don't know. But well, everybody's thinking, you might as well say it. So. Yeah. Careful how you get me. I can always get you back. All right. Proverbs chapter number six. Proverbs chapter number six tonight. Going to answer this question tonight, continuing our answers to questions, and I appreciate everybody. A lot of questions have been presented, and I'm glad for that, and going to do our best to get each one of those. I do not do them in the order they're turned in. Half of them don't have dates. Say, how do you pick them? As the Lord leads. That's how we pick them, and the Lord led us in this way for tonight, but I am trying to answer those questions that are asked. And here is today's question for us tonight to look at. The question said this: what is considered to be gossip, and what is okay or not okay to discuss about other church members? Pretty good question. Pretty good question. Isn't it great the Bible has the answers? Amen. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse number 16 says, these six things that the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto Him: a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. Verse 19 kind of uses our springboard text tonight: a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. The Bible says here in this passage, those are things that God hates. And even a step further, it is an abomination to God. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I pray that you'd open our ears and our eyes to the truths of your word. I pray you'd help us tonight in learning and growing in the things that you would have us to say and not to say. I pray that you'd open our eyes to the truth of your word. And I pray that you give us a guard to our mouth and the thoughts that we have. And may your name be honored and glorified. In your precious name I pray. Amen. Very strong language there in verse number 16 when it says that the Lord hates these things and even is an abomination to Him. Now, I think this is pretty simple, but I think we need to say it one more time. When the Bible says that the Lord hates something, our ears as Christians ought to perk up. When the Bible says that the Lord hates a certain thing, then we ought to really put some strong thought into that and try to stay away from anything that the Lord hates. And there are some things in the Word of God that the Bible says that the Lord, He hates. And one of those things that He hates here is in verse number 19, a false witness that speaketh lies, and even is an abomination, he that soweth discord among the brethren. Gossip, without a doubt, is a great, great evil. And because of man's sinful nature, gossip is going to be a problem amongst men that kind of is going to be ongoing until the Lord calls us out of here. By the way, gossip is not just a woman problem. No, they can't gossip. But it's not just a woman problem. It's a man problem too. Not just a woman and a man problem. It's a teenager problem. Not just a woman and a man and a teenager. It's a child problem. There's been all kinds of gossip with a young, you know, we have a school and there's, you'd be surprised if some of the gossip comes through there, all right? You know, gossip is a problem. It doesn't matter. There's really no boundaries. Mankind has a problem with gossip. There's been all kinds of gossip going around, through times past recently, and without a doubt, I really believe, as pastor of the church, I really believe that the gossip issue is one that is not near as a problem as it's been in the past. that will always be a problem as long as we're flesh. But I don't believe that's been as much of an issue. We've had people visit the church, some of which have become members. And one of the comments that they've made to me is how they were very impressed that there hasn't been much gossip. And their ladies have gone to the ladies' fellowships and they didn't sit around and hear gossip. Amen for that. All right. That is a wonderful thing. Gossip is a sin. So do you have a verse for that? Yeah, God hates it. All right. It's a sin. Gossip is a sin. We need to stay away from that. Not long ago, there was gossip about our church that went around. I addressed it in a business meeting. There's an area pastor and his wife who was asked other people and talking about the fact that we were having a giant church split and that Brother Carr and his family were leaving the church and we were shutting down the school. Well, we still have a school next year. Everybody's here. No one's left. And the cars, I think, were okay. Okay, good. All right. So, you know, I am not an issue. All right. And you say, well, that wasn't gossip. Yeah, it was. Say, how do you know it's gossip? Because they should have came to me. When they go talking about it to other people and they don't go to an authority figure on the matter, it's gossip. When they weren't trying to help anybody but just talk and entertain themselves, that's gossip. Amen. So that's pretty harsh. The Bible's pretty straightforward on things. And we got to preach the truth. It's gossip. You know, I've heard all kinds of gossip growing up in church, unfortunately. You hear gossip. In a very prominent independent Baptist church, it went around for a long time all across the country that a certain pastor, that he got very upset at one of the laymen. They got into an argument and he killed him and buried him in the bus barn. Now, that it was totally false and we laugh at it, but that went around the country. That's sad. But gossip, that's the way it works. It starts, and then once it starts, whoo, good luck stopping it. What I found, the reason I do things the way I do, the best way to handle gossip is to say, hey, here's what's been said, and here's the truth. That's the best way to handle it. So, you know, in a business meeting, yeah, I'll tell you, somebody said that because it wasn't true. You've got to address those things. Gossip's gone around, and gossip's always been a problem, and probably will be a problem. But there are some things that gossip is and some things gossip's not. And we need to make sure we know the difference. In James chapter 3 and in verse number 5, it talks about the tongue. You don't have to turn there. It says this. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is a very dangerous member of our body. That's why God gave us teeth and lips to keep it back, all right? We have to guard our tongue. We have to put a bridle, the Bible teaches there in James, on our mouth and our words and the things that we say. But I think it's very important that we understand what gossip is and what gossip is not. Because there are reasons you don't walk around and not address issues. Things that need to be addressed need to be addressed. If we just turn our head to everything, sin will prevail. So you have to take a stand. But you need to do it correctly. Probably, in my experience, about 70% of what is classified gossip is not gossip. It's just people getting mad that other people are exposing their sin. So-and-so is just a gossip. No, so-and-so just pointed out a sin in your life. And you get mad. Because if that person went to you and that person came to me to try to help you, that's not gossip. That's trying to help you. It is gossip if they're going around church telling people that can do absolutely nothing for you and going around to communities and just trying to tear your name down. That's gossip. That's sin. But if that person comes to a pastor or goes to you and says, hey, look, I see this area in your life. Is it true? And if it is true, we need to get it right. That's not gossip. That's biblical. Amen. But about 70% of those who point fingers say, yeah, that person's gossiping. It's not because they're gossiping. It's because they stepped on your toes. And it hurts. Amen. Now, let's look at two things. I only got 2 points tonight. Isn't that refreshing? There's like 10 sub-points under each one, but I only got too many points, all right? What gossip is and what gossip is not. First of all, let's look at what gossip is not. All right, from a biblical perspective, I'll give you, first of all, this is what gossip is not. These things are not gossip. And we have a bulletin insert, the whole back's blank lines. You got to write these things down. What gossip is not? Number one, gossip is not speaking the truth to proper authority for a godly purpose. Gossip is not speaking the truth to a proper authority for a godly purpose. If something is truthful and it's right and you know it's true, there's nothing wrong with taking that information to someone who is in a position to help that person. That's biblical. I'm going to give you a verse for it. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Jot that reference down and turn there if you would. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I probably will put on the wireless, Brother Morganson, in case I stray. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. Look with me, if you would, chapter 1, 1 Corinthians, verse number 10. It says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment." By the way, that ought to be our prayer for our church too. Verse 11, "For it hath been declared unto me," or in other words, told them, "my brethren, by them which are at the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you." Now, the house of Chloe, they told Paul that at the church of Corinth, there were some contentions. Now, I guarantee, knowing human nature, that those who were causing the contentions at Corinth thought in their minds, or maybe said with their mouth, "House of Chloe, you're a bunch of gossipers." See what I'm talking about? But it's not rebuked here that they told Paul this. Matter of fact, this book is about the information that the house of Chloe gave to Paul. That there were some problems. Now, why was this not gossip? This was not gossip because they saw problems and went to an authority who had a role who could try to fix the problem. The Apostle Paul. He had helped found this church. He gave counsel to this church. And therefore, they took this information to Paul. Now, I'm sure there were some who said, "Well, that house of Chloe, they shouldn't be gossiping about us." No, they should tell Paul when those problems are there so that it was, by the way, with a godly purpose so that the problems could be fixed. And Paul did address them. And what we see, the problems were handled. From 2 Corinthians, we see some of that. So what I'm saying is this, when there is an issue in a life, it is not wrong to go to and speak the truth with a godly purpose to an authority who needs to try to help and fix this matter. You say, what kind of authority? Well, number one, work our way up, right? And number one, telling a pastor is not wrong. That's not gossip. Now, if it's hearsay, you ought to find out what it is. You ought to go to that person. You will find out tonight, if you remember our sermons and study of church proper, church discipline, these two go hand in hand. They go hand in hand. Now look at me. If we truly practice proper church discipline, gossiping, a lot of gossip is handled quickly. Now, say there's an issue. Say there's an issue and, you know, I try to pick, you know, easy targets here that won't be any way offensive, right? Brother Carr, President Hunter, there's really no big sin issues in your life, Brother Carr, so I'm glad for that. I'm sure I could ask your wife and find out. But, Brother Carr, all right? Just kidding. Brother Carr, let's say that, you know, Brother Mullis, he's driving down the road and he stops and sees somebody and says, "Hey, I heard Brother Carr, he's been out drinking." What? Preacher just preached a sermon on that. He better not be. And you know what Brother Mullis' responsibility is? Go talk to him. That's what he should do. Now, if he goes and talks to him, that's not gossip. If he comes and says, "Pastor, I heard this, we need to go talk to Brother Carr," it's not gossip. Now, if he decides to go down the road and go to First Baptist Goshen and knock on the door, and Brother Pittman answers the door and says, Brother Pittman, Brother Carr, I heard he's drinking. That's gossip. Because Brother Pittman has no role in this. There's not a godly purpose there. He should go, by the way, he shouldn't go to Brother Seth and say, hey, Brother Seth, you should go to the person. You see how church discipline works with this? Really close. You go to the person. You go to an authority figure. A pastor is someone, to give you someone else. A parent is someone. And if it's a child that the matter's about, go to the parent uno, number one. Go to him. You see an issue, and it is an issue in my child's life, come to me. By the way, they say Alex is living like a heathen. You should come to me before you go to him. You should come to me as the authority. Not because I'm his pastor, because I'm his daddy. If you see something in Ryan's life, go talk to his mommy. Amen. If you see something in Jalen's life, go talk to Brother Doug. Do you talk to? You don't. Now listen, real close. This is going to help a lot of problems in the church down the road, all right? You don't go to... need another teenager. She's not a teenager. She's a lady now. But you don't go to Jesse Burris. Say, hey, I heard Jalen's got a problem. There's no purpose in that. What is she going to do about it? You go to her daddy. You don't go to another teenager and say, hey, I heard this is about Jalen. Is it true? No, you should go to Brother Doug. That's where it goes. You say, hey, you're supposed to be going up and down preaching. I'm trying to give you some good knowledge that'll help our church down the road. You go to Brother Doug. You say, he's totally ignoring me. Then come to me. Amen. If you start going around stirring up and trying to find out what and do investigation and interviewing, all you're doing is spreading problems and gossip. Amen. You go to the authority, a teacher, obviously in matters of church discipline. If it's a matter of church discipline, I don't want to go through all this again, but if you've gone to someone and they've not received you, you have a biblical responsibility to go with a witness, and you know, obviously you're going to share that with that witness for the purpose of seeing them restored. A godly purpose. And if I could underline and highlight something, a godly purpose. If you're talking about something for entertainment value, that's gossip, it's sin, it's wrong. If you're doing it because you have nothing better to talk about, it's gossip, it's sin, it's wrong. Seeking to help them and going to the authorities in their life to see them get back up to where they should be, that's good, that's right. So, preacher, when can I talk about it? You know, what all should be talked about with another church member and these issues handled this way? And I give you one more, okay? With the purpose of getting things right. Let's say again, Brother Carr has that problem we talked about, which he doesn't, but we're making a make-believe story. And let's say that you hear me say, hey, this afternoon my kids are going to go spend the next 2 days, they're going to go spend a couple of days over at the car's house. Then you got to tell the pastor and get with me and talk to me about that. Because another instance where it is right is to warn and to protect. A godly purpose. Amen. A godly purpose. When there's a godly purpose, it's right. When you're going to an authority, such as 1 Corinthians 1, 10, 11, and speaking the truth to a proper authority with a godly purpose, that is not gossip. Amen. See, the problem is, and I go back to this illustration, I guarantee there are people at Corinth who told the house of Chloe, mind your own business. But had they done that, that church would have had a lot worse problems. They went to an authority. You see, we live in a very soft world today. We live in a soft world that anytime someone would point out a flaw in your life, the first thing that happens is, well, look at their life. That's the first thing that happens, which shows an unrepentant heart. And the second thing is we want to point a finger and say, oh, they're just a bunch of gossipers.
Well, if they're going around sharing things to people who cannot do nothing about it, it is gossip, it is sin. But if they're going to authority with a godly purpose to see them get right, it's the biblical thing to do. A second way that's not gossip is this. Now listen, we're close, all right? Questioning with Scripture a pastor's preaching is not gossip. Now, I say that because this is, I preached to you right there. As this is what happens with preachers. I say preachers are gossips too. If anyone would ever dare question something they said, well, they're just a gossiper trying to spread discord. We are commanded in Scripture. Look over in Acts, where I'm just back a few pages. Acts 17. Why are you turning there? 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse number 21 says, prove all things. In Acts chapter 17 and in verse number 11. Acts 17, verse 11, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. What I'm saying is this. I don't warn against trying to see if I'm right or wrong. I encourage you to get in the Scriptures and to see if what is being preached is right or wrong. Matter of fact, you need to be wary of someone who will get up and preach something and say, you don't need to find it, you just need to trust me. That's not good preaching. Because the authority is not in a person. It's not in me. The authority is this book. And if I get out of this book, you have a biblical responsibility to come to me and to show me with Scriptures where I'm out of this book. Amen. That's not gossip. That's not trying to sow discord. That's being biblical. That's doing things correctly. Now, pastors do have authority, but they're not popes. And you shouldn't follow a pastor blindly without Scriptures. You need Scriptures. And I say this because at times people who would come and sit down in front, across from a pastor and say, you know what, I've been looking in the Word of God and I don't see this and I don't understand this. Can you explain it to me and show me where I'm missing this? Now listen, real close, you need to come with a humble, searching spirit with Scriptures. Now if you just come and say, I don't like the preaching and you don't have Scripture, there's something not right, as long as the Scripture has been preached from the book. And I have done, I've tried to do my very best that in any and every message that we preach to stay in the book. We covered alcohol last week, you know, and I know it was a long sermon, went through a lot of area, but the reason it takes a while is because I want you not to hear my words, my thoughts, my preferences, my philosophy. I want you to see Scriptures. Because that's the difference. The authority is in the Word of God. One of the reasons, you know, not many people do this, and I encourage you to do this. But I tell you that one of the reasons why Brother Allen and I are very close is because we have that kind of relationship. On more than one occasion, Brother Allen has said, I need to talk to you. He sits across my desk. He lays out his Bible and says, now we need to discuss this. Thank you, Brother Allen. I'm glad for that. Amen. Because he's never come in and slammed his Bible down and said, you're wrong! He's never done that. He said, let's talk about Scriptures. He said, I'm concerned about this. Did things right. What I'm saying is this, it's not gossip to use the Word of God. As a pastor, according to 1 Peter chapter 5, I'm not a lord over God's heritage, but I am to be an example. To use the Scriptures to teach the truth. It's not gossip, thirdly, to warn of sin and error. That's not gossip. Warning of sin and error is not gossip. Matter of fact, Scriptures tell us to mark false teachers. Scriptures tell us those who are causing divisions to mark them and to avoid them. Paul mentioned by name people to warn against them. In 1 Timothy 1:20, he mentions Hymenaeus and Alexander. 2 Timothy 1, verse number 15, he mentions Phygelius and Hermogenes. He pointed them out by name because they're living wicked and teaching wicked things. When I or anyone else will get up and preach the truth, we'll say you need to be wary of people like Rick Warren and his philosophies. That's not gossip. That's truth. We have a responsibility. So you're just spreading gossip. No, it's truth. Now, it's easy to pick on targets like that, but whenever we start getting close to home and there's people that also bear a tag of independent Baptist, but they're preaching false teaching and false truth, we still have a responsibility to point that out. Amen. Now, y'all may amen really well on Rick Warren, but it's true on this too. If it's error from the book, it needs to be exposed. Now, I'm not talking about preferences. You know, I'm never going to get up and say, hey, stay away from so-and-so. They allow canned music in their church. I don't like canned music. I don't think you ought to use canned music. That's just me, all right? I really don't because, A, you know, I don't know why I need to answer this, but obviously the Lord wants us to. A, tell you why, because you have no idea who actually played that. They hire people off the street to play that stuff sometimes. They go straight from a bar to a sound recording studio and play something so you can sing it in front of your church and do a Christian karaoke. It just didn't good, all right? Amen. Devil didn't like that point, all right? But that's true. And when the Lord blessed us with so many piano players and people who, pretty much, about half our piano players around here, if you just go sing them a song for about 5 minutes, they can play it for you. We're blessed. Praise the Lord for that. But I'm not going to get up and say, hey, so-and-so uses that, they're wicked. No, that's my preference. But if someone gets up and teaches a false doctrine as Calvinism or works salvation, I don't care whether Independent Baptist, Presbyterian, or whatever they are, I will say they're wrong. You need to avoid them and be careful. So that's gossip. No, that's preaching the truth. Paul said to mark them. Paul mentioned them by name. Now, I think if you've been around here enough, that isn't something I don't go around stomping people because I understand the balance. But when we do, and people who take a stand, everybody look at me, people who take a stand usually get classified by other people at some times as being gossips. That's just the truth. If you've ever taken a stand against sin, if you've ever taken a stand against someone doing wrong, chances are you've been classified as a gossip. Well, it's not wrong to expose error and to stand for the truth. It's not wrong to stand for what is right. And again, when being done not to injure people, but for a godly purpose to protect people. It's not gossip. It's not gossip, fourthly, to admonish one another. We are told all throughout Scripture, Romans chapter 15 and verse number 14, it is our responsibility to admonish. Turn there real quick. Romans chapter number 15. Romans chapter 15 and then verse number 14. One of the reasons why we have the theme that we have this year is to learn things so we're able to help others. Because it said in Romans 15, 14, and I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. In Hebrews chapter number 3, one more verse. In Hebrews chapter number 3. In Hebrews chapter number 3. And in verse number 13. In Hebrews 3 and in verse number 13, it says, but exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. We have a responsibility, church, to admonish and to exhort one another. We have that responsibility so much that it's repeated through Scripture. I can give you all kinds of other Scriptures too. Titus chapter 2, verses 3 through 5, it's specifically instructed that the aged or the older people admonish the younger. Say, what do you mean? It means people like Brother Doug, people like Brother Harris, people like Brother Salih, people who have been saved and have grown in the things of God. When you see younger people heading down the wrong path, don't turn your head to it. Go to them and admonish them. Try to help them. Amen. We live in such a feministic world. We're so afraid of hurting people's feelings, aren't we? We are. You might have nodded your head. We are. We're afraid of hurting people's feelings. And I preach this type of message for two reasons. One, to admonish every one of us to do this. And number two, if someone comes to me or someone comes to you and trying to admonish them to help them, don't go pout. Thank you. I've used the illustration before, you know, and Brother Wilson after when I said it, so you just totally don't remember it. But at camp, when we were at the juniors one time, and I, Brother Slee had left for some reason, and was there a couple days by myself, and Brother Wilson was with me, and kind of the responsibility of making some decisions was on me, and I made a decision that was just not, it shouldn't have been made. And Brother Wilson came to me concerning an issue and said, you know, he said, you know, I don't, you think you might want to rethink that. And he did it with respect. He did it with honor. He did it correctly. But he admonished me as a young man to rethink the decision I just had made. And you know what? He was right. And I changed the decision I'd made. And I'm thankful for men who will admonish. We have a young generation that's very prideful today that doesn't like it when people admonish them. We have raised a generation, and I say we, I use that as this nation, this world. We've raised a generation that doesn't want to be told they're wrong. By the way, that comes a lot from the mom and dad who doesn't like to be told they're wrong. We've raised a generation that say, hey, let me try to help you with this. I think you're heading down the wrong path here. I think you might want to rethink the way you're doing this. I think you might want to reconsider and pray about this again. I don't think this is right. From my experience and studying the Word of God, I don't think this is the right decision. A lot of young people, they say, psh. A lot of young people say, eh. And they don't want to listen. Young people, listen to your elders. That's a pretty basic principle this nation was founded on that we've gotten away from. But listen to your elders. Brother Schwartz comes to you and says, hey, I've been looking at this and I think we ought to talk about this. Listen to him. We've got a lot of young men, Brother Jordan, Ezra, Chris, Brother Ricky. You know, one of these men comes up to you and says, hey, you know, I see this in your life. Don't get offended. Listen. Now, I'm not saying they may not be right. Maybe they're wrong. But you know what? You need to listen. And if you have some doubts about it, then go to the authorities in your life. That's why God gave us authorities. Amen. But it's not gossip to admonish one another. Matter of fact, according to Hebrews there, we need to do it daily. You know what it says? Exhort daily. Now, he gives us the reason here. Look at verse number 13. Lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Here's the bottom line, and this is why it's such a problem today, is because when we don't admonish some that's been married for quite a while, and you've grown and you raised your family for the Lord, Brother Harris, all right, he's sitting over here, a mature man in the faith. If Brother Harris sees something in Ricky's life, if Brother Harris decides, you know what, I'll just let him do what he wants to. If Ricky is in sin, you know what's going to happen? According to that verse, and we know it's true by life, he will become very hardened to that sin. And if we don't address it today, and it continues to get hardened and more hardened in his life, it'll be worse and harder to ever remove from his life. Where somebody like Brother Slee comes up to somebody like Brother Aaron Daniels or says, hey, I see this in your life. Brother Allen walks up to Brother Jordan and says, hey, I see this in your life. Listen to him. And those that are in that position to see those things, act on it. It's not gossip to go to the person. And then you might go to the person and look at you and say, this is really not an issue in my life. You're mistaken. Well, amen. Praise the Lord. It's done then. Amen. Or it may be an issue that we need to admonish daily. Because if we don't, you know what will happen? We become hardened in our sin. And if months and weeks and years go by, it can get preached on from the pulpit. But if they've already got calloused and hardened to it, it's awful rough to shed some of that sin. That's why the Bible tells you when to do it, folks. Today. Today. Exhort one another today, lest it be hardened by their sins. It's not wrong to admonish. And what happens, we all know this is kind of true. Whenever, sometimes if someone comes up, and you know, I've had this so many times. You know, people have come and say, Pastor, in so-and-so's life, there's this issue that I'm really scared for them. I'm worried about them. And I'll go to them and say, hey, is this true? Who's been gossiping about me? That's not gossip. Follow me? Now, if they've gone around to everybody in the church, that's gossip. But if they've gone to your parents and your parents sit down and talk to you, that's not gossip. You got to know the difference. It's not gossip to admonish one another with a godly purpose to try to help. Now, what is gossip? I'll give you this, we're done. Gossip, number one, Bible word for it, being a talebearer is gossip. Look over in the book of Proverbs. We'll see a couple of verses all in this one book. In the book of Proverbs, you start in chapter number 11. Being a talebearer is gossip. In Proverbs chapter number 11, in verse number 13, Proverbs 11, being a talebearer is a gossiper. In Proverbs chapter 11 and verse number 13, a talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. Now let's keep reading, please. In Proverbs chapter number 18, turn over there. In Proverbs chapter 18 and in verse number 8. Proverbs 18 and verse 8, the words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Now, you got to keep going with Scripture to understand these things. You say, well, you should keep all your secrets and not ever... No. When done to help, it's right to do. We've covered that. When done to hurt other people, say, Brother Carr has that issue in his life, and you're going around just to try to tear his name down, that's what this verse is talking about. It's wrong. Don't be a talebearer. Proverbs chapter number 20, verse number 19, another verse. 20, verse number 19. He that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets. Therefore meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. Talebearer. Proverbs chapter number 26, I believe. In Proverbs chapter 26. Verse number 20. Where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. As coals are to burning coals, as wood to fire, so is the contentious man to kindle strife. The words of a talebearer are as wounds. They go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Trying to hurt someone by sharing, whether it's true or not, if your purpose is to hurt somebody, that's gossip and it's wrong. You're being a talebearer. If your purpose is to cause hurt, say to something in my life. If your purpose is not to see me get corrected, not to see me get restored, not to see me get it right with God, but your purpose is just to tear down, make fun of, and spread entertaining lies. Our world has a big addiction to this. So how do you know? It's what most of the news is today. That's just gossip. Can't do nothing about it. We just like hearing about it. If so-and-so's out in public domain having some affair, or so-and-so's doing living this wicked life, we eat that stuff up. Our human nature loves gossip. We need to be careful with it. Not be a talebearer, in other words, a slanderer. Back in Proverbs chapter number 10. Turn back to Proverbs chapter number 10. A slanderer. Talebearing is talking about others in order to cause them hurt. Slander, Proverbs chapter 10 and verse number 18. He that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool. In Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 4 through 6, states a lot the same. But what a slanderer is this. A slanderer is someone who will state things about people that are absolutely false, just to harm them. Being deceitful in order to be hurtful. Changing the story to make it a little bit more juicy. You know why people do that? Because they're selfish. You know, if I know something or you know something about me and you want to add to the story or take away some important facts to make it better and more interesting, that's being a talebearer and a slanderer. And the reason why you even do that in the first place is because you like being patted on the back or being important. It's pride. That's what it comes down to. You like being the center of attention. You're not doing it to help that person. You're doing it to tear down that person. You don't pass on information that is not confirmed. You don't go around spreading false lies in order to be a hero to other people, to be important. So what is being a slanderer? Going around to somebody and say, "Hey, Pastor Rick Salee, I believe he's a druggie." "Oh, yeah. You know, I saw him with some needle and see his arm." "Oh, yeah. I know it's true." That's being a slanderer. It's not true. I have no reason to believe that other than you liked an interesting story and people looking at you and having their attention. It's gossip. It's sin. Being a busybody, the New Testament word, is a gossiper. Look over in 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse number 11. 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse number 11. You can also, if you want to write the references down, 1 Timothy 5:13, 1 Peter 4, verse 14 and 15. We'll look at this verse in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse number 11. "For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies." What a busybody is someone who is meddling in other people's affairs with absolutely no reason to be involved. It's a busybody. Absolutely no reason to be involved in that. Being a busybody. I tried to think of an illustration, and then I give you one, a total fictitional one. My uncle's church up in Dayton. I've been studying for this message, and one day while I was gone, a man, an older man from my uncle's church that was there the whole time I was growing up when my grandpa was the pastor, his name's Urshel Murphy. He's a really good man. Godly man. He's taught Sunday school up there for about 35 years. And he brought, while I was gone one day, a giant box of books and references for study. He's a very intelligent man, loves to read and study. And he's given me lots of books in the past. And I came in the other day, and there's a giant box of books. I didn't know where it was from or anything. Finally, he called and contacted, and I got the message that it was from him. Now, I say that to say this. You don't know Urshel Murphy. He is not a member of our church. He lives about an hour and 10 minutes away from here. None of us, I don't believe, other than me and my wife, and probably Miss Lee when he walked in the office, no one knows Urshel Murphy. Rachel does. Nobody knows. No one deals with Urshel Murphy. Your paths do not cross with Urshel Murphy. Now let's say that Urshel Murphy gets involved in a sin. There's no reason for you and I to sit here and talk and tear him down. Being a tellbearer, a slanderer. Let's say it's not true, it's just a good story. We have no reason to get involved in that. To sit around and make him a topic of conversation when no one's life is involved with him, it's just entertainment. You're not trying to help him. It's for your own purpose. That's gossip. Amen. You say, "But it's true." It doesn't concern us. I'm not saying you don't have the knowledge. But I'm saying this, to sit around and do nothing about it, should avoid those situations. Now, when does it become different? Say that Brother Doug comes in and says, "Hey, you know what, I met the greatest man. His name's Urshel Murphy. And I'm having lunch with him tomorrow, and he told me he wants to help me out in my Christian faith." Suddenly, I have a responsibility to help him. Now it's not gossip to talk to Brother Doug about it. Follow me? Because with a godly purpose, I'm trying to protect him. Follow the difference? Now there's been times, you know, I don't have a problem with you calling my uncle saying, if you heard something like that, saying someone in your church, I know this. I've done that. Called other pastors and say, "This came across me. I have no business in it. But you're the authority, and I want you to know about it." That's right. But I'm not going to call Brother Howard over to my house who talk about someone he doesn't know just so we can have a conversation. That's gossip. Now, if Brother Allen's invited over to that man's house, it's not gossip. I know it's a foolish illustration, but I hope it's getting the point across. There's a difference. See, why are you saying this? Because the question was asked, what is gossip and when is it right to talk about others? Well, I hope I'm giving you that illustration. If it's totally none of our business and we can't change it and we can't help it in any way, avoid the conversation. It's doing no good but hurtful reasons and entertainment for us. If it's trying to help and protect and rebuild and restore with a godly purpose to an authority who can help that, it's not gossip. To admonish, to protect, not gossip. To entertain yourself at the dinner table with some company, gossip. See the difference? I wish I could tell you that, boy, in churches, this is never an issue. But it's always an issue. I wish I could tell you it would never be ever pointed this way. But it is pointed this way. And I also preach it for this reason. If you're going to take a stand, a biblical stand, there's going to be times in your life when you're going to be called a gossip. Well, I just want to tell you that if you've done it biblically, you're not a gossip. Keep doing it right. If you're doing it for your entertainment reasons and to try to give a good story at some bench sitting down with somebody, that's gossip. You're wrong. You ought to get it right tonight. If you sit around and you've tore down another church member, and you've not gone to an authority in their life, and you've not talked to them about it, look at me, please. You have a biblical responsibility to get that right tonight with God and go to that person and ask their forgiveness tonight. And say, hey, you know what? Didn't fully realize what I was doing, but I was wrong. And I want to be right with you. Amen. Because as long as we're made out of flesh, that tongue is a little member, but dangerous. And what a mighty fire the tongue can kindle. Maybe you're on the other side of that tonight and someone has tried to admonish you and tried to help you and you just, your only answer to that is, well, so-and-so is just a gossip. You ought to get that area right in your life tonight. And then go to that person and say, thank you. Thank you for trying to help me and loving me enough to show me what's right. You can't be living in this powder puff world, don't offend anybody. This book right here is very offensive. If it would have never offended me in the first place, I wouldn't get saved. Very first lesson is, Travis Brick, you're a sinner. That's offensive. Sometimes we need that to be shown the truth. Let's take a stand. Father, Lord, I pray you to be with this invitation. Lord, I thank you for your word. I pray you guard our tongues.